better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team is going to bring back a College World Series title to Bomb Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
And you know it's football season because as those of you who are watching on our Facebook, our Periscope, our YouTube stream, Tommy Kraft has shaved. He has no facial hair, which means it's football season.
Yep.
That's when it's official.
Go time.
Forget all the other hype. Forget SEC media days. Forget fall camp. When Tommy Kraft shaves, that means it is football season, baby. Because apparently, as I have learned by working with Tommy Kraft, officials at any level are not allowed. Or, excuse me, it's not that they're not allowed. It's just they shouldn't have facial hair, according to Tommy.
You've learned well.
That's the only thing I've learned from you. But it's very important to know that.
The season is here. Big scrimmage tonight. So, it's time to go to work. Time to start doing the heavy lifting.
Big scrimmage for you or the Razorbacks?
Big scrimmage for me.
Oh, okay. What scrimmage are you doing tonight?
It's highly confidential information.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't want to try to put you on the spot there.
I might be in the middle of the Fayetteville-Greenwood scrimmage tonight,
though. Oh, okay. If you would have kept it at highly confidential, people would have found out, Tommy must be refereeing the Arkansas scrimmage tonight. He's going to see all the information.
Well, wouldn't that flip some people out?
Oh, man. Well, yeah. I mean, it'd flip me out because I'd be like, oh, Tommy's going to have an inside information that no other media member would have.
Wouldn't that be something?
He'd be the one media member that was able to watch the scrimmage. But I feel like that'd probably end up being a conflict of interest or something.
I don't care. me being conflicted is not a problem for me.
Yeah, that's never been an issue for you.
I've spent 43 years in conflict, so bring it on.
Yeah.
No big deal.
That would be no issue for you.
Conflicted? No problem.
Well, it's kind of sad. It's not sad. It's just something that I was hoping for. I was hoping yesterday that between the scrimmage that took place and the press conferences with the two coordinators for Arkansas and Chad Morris doing his coach's show at the Catfish Hole, I was hoping that I was like, hey, maybe this is going to be it. Quarterback's going to be named. And it wasn't. So here we are on QB Watch, day number 87.
You were surprised that John Chavis didn't name the starting quarterback? Now, that would have been funny. That would have been the ultimate like troll job is for John Chavis to say, hey, I'm going to tell you who the starting quarterback is going to be. Now, that would be fun.
Oh, yeah. No, that would be something that, like, if I was head coach and I knew that everyone was desperate for that information, or I would be like, I'm going to give it to... I'll be like, all right, Ty Clary, you're going to be the guy. When you go out there and you do a press conference and, they're interviewing you and whatnot, just be like, if they ask you about the quarterback, be like, oh, I know who the starting quarterback is.
Yeah.
And then just, because you talk about the media members, like where they're all interviewing other players, and if they heard that he had they'd come flying into him. That would be a great, great troll job there by the coaching staff. But we know that's not going to happen. That's not Chad Morris's style. One of two things are going to happen. Either one, he's going to name him himself in a press conference, or two, there's going to be some hype video graphic social media post by Arkansas, and it's going to keep blowing up, and then at the very end, starting quarterback, Nick Starkle.
You're right. That's how it's going to go. Because that's just, look at how Oklahoma, who else has been, that was the one that kind of caught my attention with Jalen Hurts. Who else has announced?
Auburn did.
Auburn, and I mean,
Kentucky
all of these
did.
All of these have been on social media, right?
Justin Fields, Ohio State.
I mean, Arkansas is down to one of two schools left in the conference.
Not many left, no.
That haven't named a starting quarterback.
I think you got Vanderbilt and Mississippi State are the remaining two in the SEC.
Yeah, that's good company right there.
Everyone's chomping at the bit to figure out that information.
So, and then Moore is clearly the math major that we know he is, not the marketing major.
No.
Because last night, he has his radio show, and then way too early in the show, it became clearly apparent, he's not going to drop this knowledge here.
No.
Not over a hush puppy. No, not good. But he could have teased us, made us listen for the whole hour, Way too early out of the gate to basically say, it's not going to happen here either.
Man, it's such a missed opportunity. Because I tell you what, Tommy.
Because he could have put the ultimate tease out there, the ultimate hook. Hey, maybe later in the show, I'll tell you more about the starting quarterback.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is,
and Boyd all been locked in then.
Well, that was what I was about to say, is that we record the coaches show here on our station, and I know you listened to it for a little bit last night, and so did I, but if you would have started off and he says, yeah, at the end of the night, I'm going to name the starting quarterback.
Oh.
You would have been listening to the whole thing. Everybody would have. So it's just like, that was just a prime opportunity to get people teased and excited. That's what he needs to do. He needs to keep doing a little teasing. Like, okay, well, not just all in here in the next few days. No, like, say, yeah, I feel like I'm going to do it at a particular event that people are going to be around. And, you know, I may allude to it. I may send some sort of signal that's going to do it. Like, I don't know. Just be able to tease people with it.
Been like, hey, Dad, the house is on fire. Hush. I'm listening to the coach's show.
Yes. Got to find out who QB1 is.
Y'all take care of it.
Got to find out who the QB is, because that's what everyone cares about. And I know that yesterday we talked about how you don't think it's, you feel like who, you want to know who the offensive line is going to be. You feel like that's more important, which I understand. And I
didn't
get.
Say more important. I think we're glossing over the other 10 starting positions as though they are meaningless compared to the quarterback. And listen, I understand, but when we say starting quarterback, as you kids like to say, QB1. Can't say starting quarterback.
No,
we gotta
it's
be
QB1.
Hip. We got to be hip and cool. QB1.
It's sexier.
Oh, please. What we're looking for, who's going to be the leader? I mean, someone's got to call the play. Someone's got to instill the confidence when you bring the... And I don't know how much huddling this team's going to do, but someone's got to be in charge out there. You know, in the old way, we would call the play in the huddle. I mean, you know, that's
not... lame people now, not, old people.
That's not as common these days.
No.
But, you know, what we're looking to do is name the leader. He's starting quarterback. I mean, but that's what we really need to know. Who's going to be the leader of this offense? And it's hard to be the leader unless you're like Darren McFadden or someone like that. It's hard to be the leader and not be the starting quarterback. But there are a lot of other important position battles going on that just everybody's looking way past, you know, way past.
Yeah.
And I'm not so worried about who starts game one at quarterback as I am interested in who finishes game two and takes this team to a victory at Oxford. That's the guy we're looking for, right? Not the person that takes the first snaps against Portland State. The guy that can take the last snaps and get them to the finish line with a W against Ole Miss. That's the quarterback we're trying to identify. And maybe they're one and the same. But maybe they're not either. You know, what we can have is this flip-flop merry-go-round musical chairs act that we had, this clown show we had last year, into what, game four?
Essentially.
That's what we can have. And this schedule sets up where you could have more of that clown show. But that's what you can't have.
Well, see, this is where me and you disagree. We don't disagree on many things, but I do disagree with
you.
It'd
be more fun if we did.
I know, but we're too much alike, unfortunately, but which makes us awesome also. But I feel like it is important, I get what you're saying. I'm not trying to say that I think that your reasoning's bad, but to me, who starts game one is vital just because this coaching staff last year with the quarterback situation that you just brought up did not handle it well. I don't think anybody could even make an argument that they handled it the right way. And this juggling act that they did, because to me, it showed that they were unable to identify who the best quarterback was in practice. When we saw the games, though, you could kind of tell.
When you say unable to identify, see, when I hear that, like the coaches don't know what they're doing.
I mean, that was a part of it. Because was there any doubt that Ty Story was better?
Or last year, was the talent just so... at such a level where it was just frustrating for these coaches. It was hard to separate these two because, you know, you didn't have a standout.
Mm-hmm. Which was going to lead into my next point of that, yes, that could be the case where it was so bad. And that's all we have to go off of right now.
Do we really believe quarterback play is elevated that much?
From last year?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Based on what? What have you seen to this point that you can present evidence here this morning?
Based on the fact that the two quarterbacks that we feel like are going to be one of the two starters both have legitimate college football starting experience and have the stats and experience to back it up.
All right. So we feel like it's going to be better, and I agree with you.
Yeah.
But we don't really know much other than what we saw in spring from one of these two guys that we think are the contenders for the job and what the coaches have told us. Really about all we know at this point. is a guy that couldn't win the job at A&M and a guy that was the starting QB at SMU.
Yeah.
I mean, so while I do believe it's going to be better, we're still all in the dark a little bit about how much better the quarterback play is going to be. Now, it's got to be better than two guys last year that can't win jobs at, what, Western Kentucky and Southeast Louisiana State or whatever it is down there. It's got to be better than that, right?
Yes, it has to be, and it will be.
And if it's not, then...
got bigger problems than we've
got. Yeah, bigger issues to discuss here on the program.
Yeah.
So the question is, who can finish? You know, who can be the, who can take this team to the finish line in Oxford?
But if the coaching staff cannot, with the 4 weeks, 5 weeks, or whatever, a fall camp, that cannot identify who the better QB is. Because how many quarterback battles have you seen at legitimate big-time SEC schools? I know Arkansas's 2-10. Well, we can make the jokes later. But how many, like, even in Arkansas's best years, and I know the quarterback situations were always different, but there was never the back-to-back years where you're like, we got to figure it out as the season goes on. Like, but you can't do that.
This is the first time. I mean, let's go back. How far do we need to go back? Because you had Casey Dick that went to, what, Ryan Mallett?
Yeah,
right.
That's right.
Dick Ryan Mallett. Hush. Turn your mic off. Ryan Mallett, and then it was obvious it was going to Tyler Wilson. Tyler Wilson, it was obvious it was going to Brandon Allen. Brandon Allen, it was obvious it was going to Austin Allen.
Yeah.
I mean, this has really been the first time in how long, now you can talk, Ty, and how long has it been, I guess, going back to Casey Dick, and maybe we can go back further than that, say, no, it was pretty secure here with Robert Johnson, you know, how long has it been since the coaches didn't already kind of have it figured out based on natural progression in a camp, through a spring, all of these things? Because it was just kind of, you groom the number two, and it was just a stable situation. These last 2 years has been the first time in a long time that you just hadn't had a stable, natural, obvious progression of the starting quarterback position. And that's what they got to get back to. And I don't know how you figure that out, too, where, okay, it's going to be, let's just say, Starkel for 2 years, since he has two. And I think that's got to be an attractive part of him winning this job. And then it naturally goes to who? Is it KJ Jefferson? Is it Chandler Morris? Is it, you know, that's what you got to get into, is where someone's redshirt sophomore year, someone's junior year, someone's, you know, when they got 2 to 3 years left to play, that's when it all times out, paces out the handover. That's been the issue with Arkansas the last couple of years, is it just like fell apart based on Burt's bad recruiting, bad evaluations.
And I get that. And I know we need to run, but this is a good discussion that we can have. I agree with you there. But my only point is that just because we have so little of evidence to look at it, is it going to be because those times the quarterbacks were just that much better and that was just the way it is? Or was it the fact that the coaches could identify that those were the better quarterbacks? And then instead of playing around saying, all right, you're getting one reps, the team's going to build their chemistry around you, the team's going to get your trust in you because you're going to be our guy starting game one. I mean, that's my question, because, again, we don't know yet because we haven't been able to see it. I mean,
I'm just saying it's unusual to have back-to-back years with a quarterback battle in August.
Yes.
We just hadn't had that a lot around here.
Yeah, and everyone says, oh, it's great to have competition. Yeah, it is. But
it is when you have two elite
when you
guys.
Have good quarterbacks to have the competition. Yeah.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Everybody's staying home. Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're at number 3, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
We're talking some quarterbacks here this morning. Joe Craddock, the offensive coordinator for Arkansas, met with the media, and he honestly didn't even have to wait for anyone to ask the question.
What y'all got? Y'all want to know about the quarterbacks? That's what I figured. You know, me and Coach Morris, obviously today was the last day that we'll really evaluate those guys, and, you know, like we've said all along, you know, hopefully sooner than later we'll be able to name somebody. We'll sit down as a staff and, you know, talk about it. Coach Morris, and I know Coach has probably told you that, you know, he has one more vote than everybody else. So, all we can do as a quarterback room is continue to get better, and whoever we decide to go with, you know, they got to be in a position to lead our offense, and get our unit in the end zone. That's the main thing. So that's where we're at. I'm hoping that, you know, next couple of days we'll know something. I know Coach has his radio show tonight and some other things, so probably won't be within the next couple of days, I'd imagine, but we'll try to get somebody named here pretty soon.
You can watch the entirety of that press conference on hitthatline.com if you want to see it. But a few things there from Joe Craddock dealing with the situation. I thought was the most interesting thing is kind of where he starts. We're saying that this was the last day that we were going to have to evaluate these guys at the quarterback position.
Yeah, I mean, you get into the season and just, you know, next week classes begin, and then you get into this the flow of game preparation. And then once you get into your week, you've only really got, what, two practices during the course of a week? I mean, that you can really go out and do a lot of work. So for a quarterback to steal more game time, that's kind of off the radar. That's not the one or the two. If you're like the number three, you better do it with the scout team by beating the ones because you're on the scout team. Whether it's quarterback or any other position, there's not a lot of time for development. For the teaching, training, and development, that phase is going to kind of be ending. Now you're into to the rhythm of a game week.
Yeah. And let me also clarify my position and what we had earlier, because I know we were up against the break. But I want people to understand that right now, I'm not saying that this coaching staff does not know how to evaluate a quarterback at this point in time. I'm saying that if it hits into the game one against Portland State and they still are just going to say, all right, well, we're going to play a couple guys, we're going to figure it out, that's when I'll get concerned. If they name a starting quarterback today, I'll be like, all right, they got their guy. They named him. They're going to have a whole week next week to build around him and to have the whole team get behind him and build the camp, like all of that. That's what I'll be about. But it's when the timing continues to grow and grow and grow, and then when you get, because if this was true, what Joe Craddock said, that yesterday was the last day of evaluation for this guy or for these guys, then you would hope and you would assume that if that's the last day, they'll have today, maybe tomorrow, whenever, maybe it'll be the Beanie Bowl on Saturday, but they have somebody that they'll be able to name after this last day of evaluation.
All right, so if I told you Hicks or Starkle, either way you go, you're going to win five or you're going to win six, you know, whatever it is. Either way, win total's the same. So all things equal, you get the same result. Which way are you going?
Starkle.
Because of the 2 years?
Because of the 2 years.
Okay.
I think that having that is a lot more important than just, I mean, because what would be the benefit, if you in that situation you just said, what would be the benefit of having Hicks?
Well, and I put that out there in that way because I think that 2 year thing has got to be a factor.
Has to be.
Because as I was talking about earlier in the hour, you've had this natural progression really going back from, you know, Casey Dick from really about 10 years. I mean, it's just been obvious. There's not really been a conversation about who the next starting quarterback is going to be. That's what you got to work your way into, whether it's Starkle to KJ Jefferson, whether it's KJ Jefferson to Chandler Morris, or however this thing is going to eventually align and work itself out. That's what you got to get back to, is where it's obvious who they're grooming, who the next guy, who the next man up honestly is.
Yeah.
And I understand competition and pushing each other and all of these things, but you know, you need someone this is our guy.
Yes.
This is the man.
Yes, because I feel like, and just basing it off of, you know, conversation we had with Tyler Wilson too, because I remember he talked about this last year as well, that it goes a long way when you, because you want to name your starter not just because you need a name to name one. You want to name him because you believe that he's the guy. That's why you want to name him. But naming a guy and naming a guy early is so much more beneficial to have, to where all the team gathers around him, they rallied around him. It means a lot more for just your team in general. And that's what I'm hoping to see, is that they decide to name him, they feel confident in him, they feel like this is going to be the guy that's going to lead them some victories this year. But when you brought up the situation of results the same, which QB you go with, it's got to be Starkle. And not only for that fact, too, but, and correct me if I, and you can disagree with this, but I feel like if you're Ben Hicks and you get named the starter, obviously you're confident in your abilities, but you know the fan base in general is not going to be as pumped, as excited, as confident if it's not Nick Starkle.
If you're Ben Hicks, you don't care. I mean, you can't worry. I mean, if you're Ben Hicks, you cannot spend one moment worrying about that kind of thing. About the excitement level. I mean, you're trying to win snaps, you're trying to win starting, but this is your last hurrah, right?
That's right.
And if you got any, I don't know what his his career aspirations are, if football is something that he thinks he can do beyond this and Arkansas, and maybe get a free agent deal, or maybe, you know, with a great year, maybe you get a look. I don't know what's in his head on that kind of career path. But all these guys playing at this level think they're going to be able to do something to make a check for a little while, making, you know, playing football. And I'm sure that's in his head too. Hey, if I don't win this job right now, it's over here holding the clipboard, you know. Then what?
But I think there would be a level of disappointment for people if it was Hicks being named.
I agree, but are you talking with Hicks worried about that, or are you talking about just the fan reaction?
I'm talking about more the fan reaction, okay, is what I'm alluding
but
to.
But I'm just saying that Ben Hicks ain't spending the moment.
No. You hope he doesn't. You hope
he
doesn't.
If he is, I don't want him as my starting quarterback.
Right. No, you wouldn't want that guy. But I'm just saying from the fan perspective, though, you had a guy that was playing and starting at Texas A&M and had some pretty good stats. And he's a grad transfer, had other places to go in schools.
But let's not make it out like he started 25 games down there.
Yeah, what stats are you referring to? Because he's won one SEC game and it's Power 5.
He still started for – if he started for an SEC team, was good enough.
One SEC win. One. And he had one really good bowl appearance against Wake Forest. So I think you're making his statistics out.
How many SEC games have Arkansas quarterbacks won the past 2 years?
Cole Kelly, one?
Had one.
Okay, so you're almost overblowing. You keep referring back to his statistics. If you actually
because that's the best they have right now. That's all they got.
You're both right. It's not great. What Starkle has on his resume isn't awesome, but it's the best they have available.
Yeah, and that's what I'm referring to. I'm not saying that, this is why he's going to be one of the better quarterbacks in the SEC, or this is why he's going to just blow people's minds and he's going to throw for 3,000 yards and 30 touchdowns. I'm not saying that. I'm just looking at the cards they have in their hand
now.
You
compare what Ben Hicks has done in his past versus Starkle, there is a difference.
Right, and that's what I'm referring to is that...
I think Hicks has 0 Power 5 wins, and I believe Starkle has 2. Well, yeah. Wake Forest.
Same amount as Chad Morris as head coach.
Yeah, I mean, and 2 is more than 0. And so that's why I'm saying with Starkle, people look at that. And again, I understand that it's not much, but it is more. It is more than what Hicks has. And you do have 2 years with him. And people will see it from the perspective of, hey, if he was good enough to start at Texas A&M, even though he didn't start 25 games, even though he only won one SEC game, even though that was all he had, that's still better than what Hicks did in 3 years as a starter at SMU, just because it was at SMU.
But somewhere in South Louisiana or in Western Kentucky, they're saying, well, Ty Story was good enough to start at Arkansas, or Cole Kelly was good enough to start at Arkansas, when really, in fact, Brett Bielema had missed on the evaluation. Right?
Yeah. Because I was actually thinking about this yesterday, Thomas.
I mean, two starting quarterbacks that can't even win jobs at that level.
We were talking about, or I was talking about just the quarterback situation that Arkansas had. You know, if you really look at it, if it weren't for the Allen boys, Brent Bielema's evaluation of quarterbacks was absolutely atrocious. I mean, if you really think about it, and I'm not trying to hate on anybody, but you think about the guys behind...
Sounds like you are.
Well, just think about the guys behind the Allen brothers. Think about the guys that he recruited.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Rafe Peavy... nothing happened with him.
Yeah.
You had guys like Cole Kelly, like Ty Story, Ricky Town in that stupid situation. I mean, he was a very poor evaluator of the quarterback position. And again, I know the Allen brothers did really well, or at least had some moments there. But
yeah, I've got a theory that you just don't have a lot of small classification high school quarterbacks that come here and make it. You know, that I'm always leery of the guy that played 2-3-4A level ball as a quarterback. Now, this doesn't apply to defensive linemen. This doesn't apply to many other positions, because we've got other case examples of, well, this, like Sosa Game being one of them, played in a smaller classification, is quite well. But the quarterback position, as we've discussed, and that's why we've spent so much time on, is different. And you bring up Rafe Peavy, a guy that played at a lower classification in the state of Missouri. Just didn't pan out.
Yeah.
It just seems like, you know, we've discussed this in previous years, and I think Brad Taylor from Danville, Arkansas, was the last guy to come to Arkansas from a smaller classification in our state and make it and produce and win.
Doesn't happen often.
I mean, you need guys that come from Fayetteville High, like the Allen brothers, Tyler Wilson that comes from Greenwood, the top classification or two in our state, seem to be the quarterbacks that have seen the size, seen the speed, seen the level of football, have went through the preparation. It's not that the coaching is that much better, or the I think it's the competition and the speed and the size you see week in, week out at those levels. It's not anything to do with the coaching. Some of it's better than others. It's just like anything else in life. But you just look, if I'm wrong, name me the one that you know, it's an outlier. It's the one out of 50. It's the one out of 30 or whatever. Because the smaller classification quarterbacks get to this level, at least at Arkansas, and it just doesn't work.
So you worry about KJ Jefferson because he's 4A?
A little bit. Now, I don't know what Mississippi State's.
Six.
Is there six? Mm-hmm. You know, maybe. I don't know. I just know you look back over that history, and the guys that seem to play at the, in our state, what's been the 6 and 7A level, mm-hmm. seem to do okay, at least. The guys that come from the smaller classifications struggle. I can't put my thumb on why it is. I just know that's how it is.
Yeah. You definitely have more examples of them not doing well yeah. than not. I mean, you can just go down the list. Remember Gary Brashears, you know, he was considered to be highly touted.
Parade All-America?
Yeah. Even going back to Landon Leach. Remember that guy?
Or no, Russellville?
Brett Lashley. Sorry. I get them mixed up. But Brett Lashley was from Shiloh.
Right.
And he was highly recruited too. Kyle Frazier. Another guy, you know, the list goes on. Your point's valid. So that's where some worry and concern can have. So you just recruit those big classifications.
That's me. To me, as a just looking at that evidence, I'd never get too big on a quarterback that wasn't in the top couple of classifications in his state. I can't tell you why. Someone smarter than me is going to have to say, well, here's the football reasons why. I just think it's the competition you play against, you practice against day in, day out, week in, week out is what prepares you to be a good college quarterback. The gap is too big to make that leap from high school to college. And then because you prepared closer to that level, being in those top classifications, you've played against more college players in practice and in games. Mm-hmm. You're just better prepared.
Yeah.
That's my only theory. And I just know what the evidence says. These guys like Rafe Peavy and Ty Story that come from 2 and 3A level schools, just doesn't, you know, you want it to work out. You wish it would work out. It just doesn't seem to ever work out.
Nope. Certainly doesn't. But you know what that means? That means Chandler Morse is going to come in and win the Heisman.
Well, but he played where? He played at a big time school in Texas.
And is really good at it.
I'll be interested to see how KJ Jefferson ultimately pans out.
Yeah.
As a 4A level quarterback. What'd you say? 6A was the top in Mississippi?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Six.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Give is to Alex Collins, straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas, 80 yards.
We're talking a lot about the quarterback situation, obviously, which seems to be an interesting one, but we were going a little deeper into it about the quarterbacks that Arkansas has had pan out and the ones that haven't, specifically, and about the classifications that they come out in high school, where it seems like the most successful Arkansas quarterbacks, or at least the ones that were good enough to play in the SEC and were solid enough, all came from larger classifications from their respective states. If you think about Ryan Mallett coming from Texas High School in Texarkana, you think about the Allen brothers coming from Fayetteville High School and the highest classification in Arkansas, even Tyler Wilson coming from Greenwood. I guess that would probably be the smallest of the successful quarterbacks coming out of Arkansas. And then how, on the other side of it, a lot of the smaller school quarterbacks never really panned out. And I'm not even just saying at Arkansas. I'm just saying in general. If you think back to, mm-hmm. you know, we were bringing up the example of Ty Story, but even if you bring back the guy like Kyle Frazier from Shiloh, which was highly regarded, didn't pan out for him. Guys like Gary Brashears way back when in Clarksville was considered a highly recruited guy. And somebody, I thought it was interesting, somebody asked about it too, as far as the two quarterbacks we're discussing right now with Ben Hicks and Nick Starkel, what was their classifications in their high school that they played in?
Good question.
Now, Ben Hicks was out of Waco, and he played at the highest classification of 6A.
Which is in Texas.
In Texas, it's the highest classification. Right. Nick Starkel, he was came from a private school at Liberty Christian School, and it is considered a 4A school, private school, mm-hmm. In the state of Texas. So take that for whatever it is.
Yeah.
But it still goes along with our discussion about how in a lot of cases, at least with the quarterbacks that have played at Arkansas, almost always, if not always, better quarterbacks come from the better classifications because they play the better competition.
Right. I'm just saying, if I'm wrong, tell me where I'm wrong. I mean, I think there's a few guys from Texas that have played in the top two or three classes you can point to, but for the most part, there's been very few guys that have won a starting job and made a real impact at Arkansas. that have been, you know, long-term starters, not a guy that started a game or two, that didn't come from one of the top classifications. Now, it doesn't have to be the top one. It doesn't have to be 6A in Texas or in Arkansas 7A. But you better be in those top two or three to really pan out. It seems like that's what the evidence presents. This isn't bashing on anybody. No. This isn't hammering anybody. No. This is just what, over the last 25 or 30 years, the evidence says. And really, I'm going all the way back. I think Brad Taylor from Danville was the last guy from a smaller classification school, in our state at least, that went up to Fayetteville and became a success story. If I'm missing somebody, someone let me know.
Yeah.
At least in our state, that's the last one I can come up with.
Oh, and you would know better than I would, because you're obviously a little older than I am, and you remember a lot more about those situations.
A lot wiser.
And, of course, yes, and better looking, too.
Yes.
All those things.
Glad you brought that up. Yeah. Almost forgot.
But, you know, but it makes me wonder, though, if you're Chad Morris or whoever, I'm not saying they go in with this perspective, but is it a matter of if there's a kid from a smaller school in the state of Arkansas, quarterback, that's doing really well, do you kind of say, Let me go and see what else is out here. Like, well, the whole thing with Jacoby Criswell and Chandler Morris, a lot of people were upset that that Chad Morris was not recruiting Criswell very highly because they felt like, oh, he's just, you know, maybe showing bias against his son. And, you know, they thought that there was some element there. But at the same time, though, there is a difference between 6A Texas football, which is where Chandler Morris is playing at and doing very well. Then what Moralton is in, which is what, the 5A?
5A.
5A.
Which is a good, they play in a good, and listen,
not
he's
got away
from very
it.
Good, Cody McNabb's a very good high school coach, and Criswell plays in a very good system down there.
Yeah.
So Jacoby's is well prepared. So.
Not taking anything away from him. But just going off of what the evidence we've discussed, though, would you not lean towards?
And listen, 5A in our state, you got to remember, there's only 16 schools in, what is 7A, because there's only 7A for football, 16 in 6A. So, I mean, you can really kind of throw 5A, particularly in certain conferences, in that larger group just because you're still inside the top, what would be, 64 schools by being class 5A in this state because they've split or fractured the top two. So, he's a quarterback that's gotten a lot of offers. Now, back to Ty's story. Alabama's interested. They made an offer. You know, so and that's a lot of times, I think, what happens. Arkansas gets into an in-state battle with a guy, and then if Alabama or Auburn or any other SEC school comes and offers and you don't, and then it works out for that quarterback or that player somewhere else, then you got a problem as a head coach, you know?
Yeah, you do.
You look at the Michael Dyer situation. Everybody was all up in arms when Dyer out of Little Rock Christian was not really a target for Petrino. He went to Auburn, had success, but then had a lot of off-the-field problems, as we all know. And in the end, I guess it was kind of a mixed bag, obviously, with him. But there were a lot of people upset that how can he let this guy get away and go to Auburn? Remember? I mean,
yeah.
A lot of people not happy about that, you know? So I'm just saying when other SEC schools offer in-state talent, it puts the coach in our state in a corner, in a box.
And there's a lot of cases that you can make, and in some cases even basketball, that highly regarded and highly recruited and highly touted kids coming out of the state, if they go outside the state, they don't really pan out.
I think basketball is a whole different animal because you've got all the summer competition, all the shoe company events, and all of these things where the best play the best.
Right.
You know, they all get on the Hawks or the Wings or the whoever's and the Elite Woods or whoever, and the best play with the best against the other best.
Right. So it's not as common.
In football, you play with your guys from your school. In 7-on-7, you play, you know, you don't have that kind of AAU type setup for football. So it's a little harder to figure out.
The state of Arkansas has not exactly produced a ton of great quarterbacks in general. I mean, just in their history. You could probably name them on one hand of SEC caliber quarterbacks that this state has produced in their history. Obviously, I know they're not always been in the SEC, but you get my point.
Well, just in the SEC, you think about, Barry Lonnie's the first one you think about. Played at Fort Smith Southside. I mean, Matt Jones, who was a quarterback at Van Buren and then played his senior year at Fort Smith Northside. And then I guess from there, because the Dick brothers were from Texas. Then you go to, What are we going to call Mallett? Is he Texas or is he Arkansas?
By rule, he has been Texas.
But he was
as close as you could get.
He was raised in Northwest Arkansas, so I don't know. So that whatever you want to consider Mallett, then obviously Tyler and the Allen brothers. So
yeah.
Now, where you want to draw the line at great, that's up to you. But Tyler Wilson's Tyler's probably the greatest amongst the Arkansas quarterbacks in the SEC era. Then I'd put Brandon number two.
Yeah.
Or maybe Barry Lunny. I'm going to tell you, Lunny was... That's a good discussion about where would... Because I know Lunny was a little bit before y'all's time, but that dude could play.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. Those would be my top three. I'd probably put Lunny at two and Allen at three. I think Tyler's number one, though.
Yeah. Well, I don't think you can make an argument for Tyler. Tyler has a lot of records that back it up and had a lot of successful seasons.
And Lunny took his team to the SEC championship. They got beat by Florida, but they got there.
Yeah.
They hit Madre Hill. You know,
But adding into that, just think about how many quarterbacks from this state, great quarterbacks from this state, or highly recruited ones at least, left the state and did well at whatever school they went to. There's really not that great of a list. I mean, I can't really think of any off the top of my head of quarterbacks that were highly recruited coming out of the state of Arkansas, did not go to Arkansas, and did really well. And that's where the frustrating thing can come into play, too, because in this state, we all know that Arkansas is the team. There's no pro teams. It's where everybody's focus is at. And there's this mentality, right or wrong, there's this mentality that if you're a big-time recruit and you're in the state of Arkansas and Arkansas is recruiting you heavily and you don't go to the state of Arkansas, it's like, see ya. Want nothing to do with you anymore. Bye. You're almost like you're turning your back on the state. Right or wrong, that's the case. But, and so there's always this added pressure, though, I think. And I don't think Chad Morris is saying, oh, man, I have so much pressure on me to go and recruit Arkansas kids. I'm not saying from that perspective. But there are some fans out there that like to put that have pressure saying, if there is a kid that comes from this state, you even if you don't need him, you better go get him.
You got a little more leeway in football with 25 scholarships and you know a year that you're going to sign and then 85 overall.
Right, and that's what we're referring to.
A little more room for a little more margin for error. But you get into basketball, that same theory doesn't apply.
Right, and no, and I understand that. And this is why this is the football discussion we're having and the situations that Arkansas has had, and because there were some people that were upset that Arkansas did not recruit Kyle Frazier as heavily as they did, say, someone like Brandon Allen. Some people said that Kyle Frazier is better than Brandon Allen. There was some frustrations there, and I know both of them were Arkansas kids, but there's always just going to be this feeling to where if Alabama comes in, like you said, if Alabama came in and offered a kid from Arkansas, by God, you better go out there and you better offer him too, and he better come to Arkansas. You cannot lose him to Alabama. Okay, but at the same time, some kids just don't want to come to Arkansas. Mm-hmm. I mean, Josh Frazier was another example of, you know, he left and went to Alabama and had some success.
I've always found it interesting, you know, like you take any kid out of Fayetteville High School, there's what, three different kids from Fayetteville High School playing at Missouri right now?
Yeah, Taylor Powell, Akil Byers, and I'm trying to remember the other kid's name, but yeah.
Barrett Bannister.
Yeah, so, you know, part of going to college is, I mean, and you did this too. You went to Fayetteville High School.
I did.
And then went to school at the U of A.
Go Purple Dogs.
But were you tempted to look elsewhere just because, hey, I've been in Fayetteville my whole life. I grew up here. I want to experience something different. I mean, and I can see that from a kid, whether it's in Morrilton, like we're talking about Criswell, or anybody else in the state. Tech, hey, I want to go experience something new. I want to see something different. There's got to be that temptation too.
I didn't personally have that, yeah. But I'm not ever. I was going to Arkansas no matter what. I mean, that was just what I wanted to do. But why
it was another. Well, for you, seven, but for most people, 4.5. Years in Fayetteville.
Hey, me and Cody Walker, man. we made the most out of our college careers for sure. But no, I get what you're saying. And again, it's every kid's different, and sometimes it's hard to understand that. But football, it's a competitive thing, and this state does not produce a lot of high caliber, high talented players. So it feels like if they actually do have one coming up, you better get them. Because, Tommy, how many examples do we have of Arkansas kids making the difference? A Darren McFadden in football.
Oh, tons.
Or a Corliss Williamson in basketball.
Well, listen.
It makes the difference.
All the best teams, when you look at, particularly in football, but I mean, you brought up obviously the greatest Arkansas basketball team of all time and basketball player in Corliss. You look at the teams that have had the most success, and they all had a lot of Arkansas kids on them.
Mm-hmm.
And not just, you know, and obviously not just a quarterback, And a lot of that, you know, you look at that 06 team, you had Mustaine there for a good part of that season in 06. But, you know, McFadden, but you go back to 98. Let's look at 98. You had a guy from Texas, Clint Sterner at quarterback, but you had a bunch of guys on that front line, on that offensive line, that were from Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
And a bunch of guys on defense from Arkansas. And I've always said that when you can get a bunch of those guys that can play that are from here, it just means more to those guys.
It
just does.
It does. And I think I'm pretty sure when we mentioned Darren McFadden, Corliss Williamson, I'm pretty sure that they love Arkansas more than anything. I mean, they still do to this day. So there's something to be said about it. But at the quarterback position, at least on the horizon, I don't know if what Arkansas is going to be doing with the quarterbacks that are coming out of this state. But if there's a highly recruited one, you better go get him, Chad Morris.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
It is Recruiting Thursday, and coming with that is Richard Davenport on the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Going to discuss a lot of things with him this morning. Good morning, Richard. How you doing?
Doing good, guys. Thanks for having me.
Well, I appreciate you coming on with us. I know it's a little slow time during the recruiting period, but I want to ask you about something. I don't know if you've done research or anything on it, so I'm just going to put you on the spot right here. But we've been talking about the quarterback situation, obviously, with the Arkansas Razorbacks. And the two quarterbacks are both grad transfers that obviously had success, or at least some sort of success at the previous schools. But have you done much diving into or research on what these two quarterbacks were like in high school coming out? Were they highly regarded? Were they what is their background a little bit on Nick Starkel and Ben Hicks from their high school days? Do you have much info on that?
That's a good question. I can't remember too much off the top of my head. I think that they obviously had some options, but I don't think that either one of them were that highly recruited. I think, I think Starkel, A&M was the best, and I'm just guessing here. I think A&M was his best offer. I'm not 100% sure, but they seemed to be lightly recruited, best I can tell, but I could be wrong.
Everybody has an opinion about the starting quarterback and who it should be and when it should be announced. What's your feelings on this whole deal where Arkansas is yet to announce a starting quarterback? When should they announce it, and who should it be, Richard?
Well, I guess with the kind of like the mock scrimmage on Saturday, I think we'll probably hear something by then, I would think. I don't know. We'll see. But I just tend to think, just because of Hicks is being so familiar with the offense and knowing the coaching staff so well, I think that obviously gives him an edge. From what I understand, no one, I think Coach Morse has kind of hit on this, no one has really separated themselves. And I think in that case, you go with somebody that you know and that knows the offense, knows how to get you out of a bad play. But at the same time, I think during the season, we're really going to – you're really going to be able to tell who the quarterback is, regardless of who the starter is, because I think both of them will play and things will work out. And it will be the guy that obviously gets them in the end zone, but it will definitely be the guy that doesn't turn the ball over, keeps the turnovers to a minimum. And whoever has the highest turnover rate, I tend to think will be sitting on the bench.
Richard, I also want to ask you, with the given the current quarterback situation, there's just a lot of people trying to figure out what's going on, and there's a lot of speculation that's surrounding it. But it certainly seems like that Arkansas has upgraded from quarterback from last year, as it's come out in some of the stuff we discussed, is the previous quarterbacks that were here last year and didn't even win a starting spot or get any playing time, or looks like they're not going to get much playing time at their respective schools with Ty Story and Cole Kelly. I mean, do you feel like this quarterback situation has been elevated greatly, or is it something we're just going to have to see as the season plays out? Because I feel like it's better, but how much better is the question?
Well, I was talking to someone last night that was at the scrimmage, and that person said definitely what they have right now is an upgrade over last year. How much of an upgrade, we're going to find out over the course of the season. But I just tend to think that with these two guys, I mean, they're obviously more experienced than what you had last year, you know, at the quarterback position, and probably obviously maybe a little bit more talented and definitely Starkle far as his arm. But at the same time, I mean, there's a lot of quarterbacks that may not have the best arm, but are some of the best quarterbacks in the game. So it's all about moving those chains and being able to, again, keep those interceptions to a minimum.
Who do you expect to surprise some people this year, Richard? You know, you followed all of these guys through high school and watched their prep careers. Who are some incoming freshmen, or maybe some of the guys that got a little bit of time last year with the four-game rule that are red shirts this year that you think could have a breakout year or make some noise that nobody's really expecting to see a lot out of this year?
Well, I'm going to go safe. I mean, for some of the guys, I mean, I keep hearing about Treylon Burks, and I don't think that's going to be a surprise. Evidently, he had a punt return for a touchdown yesterday during a scrimmage, and just everything you hear about him. But I will tell you, one guy that may surprise a little bit, because I keep hearing his name after these scrimmages, is John David White, the walk-on from Plaski Academy. I was told that he made a spectacular catch yesterday. So don't be surprised if you see him playing as a true freshman. And I remember seeing him at Plaski Academy, and I was going, wow. I mean, I was kind of surprised by him being so lightly recruited. But he may be a surprise just because he was a walk-on and a guy that a lot of fans aren't expecting to, you know, maybe see much action this season. But I think there's a good chance that happens. But I think as far as this class, you're definitely going to see double digits as far as freshmen contributing. I think this class, everything that I've heard is as good as they anticipated. And I think this is definitely the class that a lot of times last year they were saying that they were going to be the class that helped turn the program around. I think that's going to be the case.
Richard Davenport of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette on the Cherokee Casino Hotline here on the Morning Rush. Richard, I know I'm throwing a lot of quarterbacks at you, but something else that we've gotten into the discussion with a lot of our listeners, too, was looking at the upcoming quarterback situation for Arkansas, because obviously Chandler Morris has committed to Arkansas. It looks like he's going to be playing for his dad. And the other guy that people keep asking about is Jacoby Criswell, the in-state kid. You've watched both these kids play, and I'm not saying you can say who's better or whatnot, but it certainly seems like a lot of people want the in-state kid maybe over Chandler Morris, because it's just a sticky situation right now for head coach Chad Morris, trying to figure out which quarterback he wants to go with and why.
Well, I like them both. I like them both. I think Criswell is an outstanding quarterback. I think you couldn't have gone wrong by taking him. But at the same time, there's no doubt I've seen Chandler playing a game. I've seen him in three or four camps, and he's the real deal. I mean, there's a reason why he's the Dallas Morning News Offensive Player of the Year. I mean, as far as preseason this year, I mean, and on top of what he did last year. I know some fans think that he's the quarterback because he's, the son of Coach Morris. But I'm going to tell you, he has the capability of, and we'll find out over the next 4 or 5 years, but I think he has the capability of being an outstanding quarterback on the college level. He's got the brain, he's got the football IQ, he can make all the passes, and he is a legitimate dual threat. I think a lot of people don't know that. I mean, I know his coach said he runs a 4-5, and watching him play last year, I think he's definitely around a 4-5. So he's a true dual threat quarterback.
Richard, another question I want to ask you, and something we've discussed, is about these quarterbacks just in history. And it seems like, especially at Arkansas, that the better quarterbacks were always coming from higher classifications of high schools, obviously with Ryan Mallett and the Allen brothers, even going back before that, Matt Jones, Clint Sterner. There was these guys that came from higher classifications, and then it seemed like there was a lot of highly recruited kids that went to smaller high schools that didn't really pan out, not only at Arkansas, but at other places as well. Do you think there's something to be said about quarterbacks playing at higher classifications and how it seems like it translates a little easier to college football, specifically in the SEC?
Well, I know in talking to coaches that they definitely, when they evaluate film, they like being able to see a kid that's playing against good competition. There's just no doubt about it, because sometimes you see a kid and he can have success, a good amount of success, and then you start to say, yeah, but look at the competition, and there comes a point where there's a little bit of a doubt in the evaluator's mind. But at the same time, there's plenty of you make a good point, and I think that's a valid point. But at the same time, I think, gosh, there's got to be some great quarterbacks that have come through, lesser competition that have done well. I mean, I can't think of anybody offhand, but I'm sure there has been. But at the same time, I think when you evaluate, it does give you a little bit better peace of mind when you know that he's done that against a very good competition.
All right, last one before we let you get out of here, Richard, going to the basketball side of things. What's the update on Razorback basketball recruiting with Eric Musselman?
Well, on Tuesday, they hosted four-star 2021 shooting guard Trey Alexander for an unofficial visit. That went well. He's a guy that had a previous relationship with associate head coach Chris Crutchfield, everything. He was very, very impressed with just the coaching staff, and obviously the relationship he had with Coach Crutchfield is a bonus. But and he said his dad was very impressed, and then they're hosting Harrison Ingram, another four-star prospect in the 2021 class today. He got in town yesterday, but will start his visit today. He's 6'7", 210 pounds, and a kid who has a very impressive offer list, but is definitely interested in Arkansas. Arkansas is recruited, and it's not unusual with this staff. A lot of times they recruit, the entire staff recruits a kid, and that's something that kind of caught Harrison Ingram's attention. He said that Arkansas is about one of 10 schools that do that, and schools that do that seem to be his top schools.
Richard, always appreciate you hopping on with us, man. Have a great weekend, and we'll catch up with you next Thursday, all right?
All right, guys. Take care.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.